You're listening to Trot the Egging, hosted by John Hetherington, working with Widnes Rugby Union Football Club, sponsored by Boydells.
This week's rugby story is a local fella who has contributed massively to rugby league in Widnes. Growing up watching his dad play meant only one thing, rugby league was in the blood. Beginning his journey at Widnes St Mary's, he moulded himself into a top draw hooker as he entered the adult game. Playing open age at the Marys and 18s at Widnes Tigers gave him the platform to develop all aspects of his game, which he did and won the town's Young Player of the Year. His career also had spells with Widnes Vikings, Lancashire, Widnes Town Team, Halton Farm of Hornets and Great Britain Community Lions. Ladies and gents, Mr. Anthony Owens.
Follow, like, share, subscribe and endorse us via Facebook, Trot the Egging, Twitter at @TrotTheEgging/@JohnHeth, Instagram @Trot_D_Egg_In, YouTube Trot the Egging, LinkedIn John Hetherington, and Spotify Trot the Egging.
Anthony, how have you been, mate? Okay?
Yeah, not bad, John.
Yeah, good man. So before we get stuck into your rugby story, mate, where was home for you and who lived at home with you?
I lived over Upton when I was younger with my mum and dad and my sister.
And how was that? Where did the competitiveness come from in you, mate? Because I'm sure Kaz wouldn't let you play rugby with her, would she?
No, definitely not, no. No, my dad played rugby, so I was around the rugby club quite a bit growing up. So I think it's obviously come from there. He played for St Mary's as well.
So there was, like, for those that know you, mate, which we'll touch on later, obviously, but it was always going to be them, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they'd let me play for anyone else.
So that's your introduction to rugby, really, through your dad then, is it, mate? What's the earliest memories of rugby?
I used to go and watch him on a Saturday. I'd be the unofficial ball boy. I'd have to get it when they kick it into touch and stuff, like, you know. And I also had a cousin who played. He was a bit older than me. And I used to go up and watch them.
So what is it? It's like the family just through and through the Marys, yeah?
No, it was, really, yeah. It was at the time, yeah.
Right. And school-wise, mate, where did you go? And was sports something you were fully invested in growing up? And did you just play rugby or was the football, tennis?
I did the football and the rugby, yeah. I enjoyed both, to be honest. But I think my dad was quite keen on me playing rugby more than football. You know, there was no getting away from it. But I played football and rugby at schools, junior schools and high school as well.
Right. So never the time you had to choose, and or was club sport always rugby league?
I played football once and I got hurt, and it was down team, yeah, under 11s, and that didn't go down well. So I think the choice was made there.
So was you a hooker all the way through, mate, or could you play down the spine?
No, I started off as a 7, a scrum half, and then it was only when I went open age that I changed to hooker.
So as a kid, how did you play the game? You were, because you're more than just a pivot. You running games are good. You've got a good running game. I mean, yeah, is that something you were like as a kid?
Yeah, I think it was more. It was more of a running game really than a passing game, especially at a younger age. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed having a run more than I would passing wise.
Yeah. So when did you miss the trials for town team then through the injury, or was you able to go anywhere?
No, I still went. I managed to. My dad got us in at the physio witness at the time, and I went in. She sorted us out, and then carried on through town team. Played the season under 11s with Roger Addison.
What do you remember about the selection process, Ant? Was it through your school? Was it through the club?
Yeah, and it was. You went through your schools, and then you had like trial games.
Yeah.
Against each other in mixed teams and stuff like that. and then it'd be selected, and they pick the squad. I think it was 20 odd players.
Okay. And so, what clubs were dominant back when you were playing as a kid, mate? Who was your competition like locally?
There was Widnes Tigers, Luntzeath.
Yeah. Right, so it was quite healthy.
Yeah, there was a good few teams, yeah. There's teams from Runcorn. So it was all right. It was a good level, yeah.
Yeah. And what do you remember about them early days in the town team and that? Was it like you had to rock up in that old school shell trackie and stuff, was it?
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah, your boots had to be cleaned and stuff like that. Otherwise, you weren't really clear. Yeah, he was strict, Roger Light, but he was good.
Yeah. Is that early inset of like a strict the rugby to you that? Did you feel it?
Yeah, it was a little bit different. At club, it wasn't as strict. You know, you'd have more of a laugh. Yeah. You were hanging around with your mates, and then you'd go to, there was competition with places in every position, and, you know, you'd have to be on your toes. And if you didn't do as what you were told and stuff like that, you'd be out.
Yeah,
and someone would take your place. So, and obviously, teams you were playing against were obviously a better quality as well.
Yeah, no, that's it, mate. And it's serious before the serious the start. If that makes sense to viewers and listeners, isn't it? It's like the first step of winning matters, town team.
It is.
Yeah,
it definitely is. Yeah, but it's a good thing to have. And then as I've got older, I wanted my kids to go through it as well.
Yeah.
And I know it's changed a lot now, the system that they have now, but you still want them to be involved in it and go through that process. Like, as I said, it's different than club level, so it is good.
It's like an early insight, Anthony, isn't it, really?
It is, mate,
To what can happen, mate, yeah. So when you go through into high school, how did you transition into school? Was it pretty easy for you with the rugby? And how did you find school, mate?
Yeah, when you obviously started high school then, I knew quite a few of the lads from different schools through rugby and through football as well. So it was a good mix. And high school was good. I enjoyed it really. Good group of lads, good mates, like.
And so position wise football, where would you have played?
I played midfield mainly for the schools.
A little Scalzi.
Yeah. No, I enjoy football. I enjoy more sports, really, to be honest.
It's just, you felt like you'd invested in rugby pretty early, mate, didn't you?
Yeah, it kept you quite busy as well. So you didn't have time for everything, you know what I mean? But
so when you were in high school, mate, what was the script with playing? So was you allowed to just play rugby league, or did you have to play both courts?
No, it was mainly rugby union them days. We didn't play league.
Okay.
So I was lucky enough to be picked for Lancashire, though, from the town team. So I'd get released a bit school wise, and I could go out to Lancashire games.
Oh, top bragger. Yeah. What with that rugby league, that, Anthony?
That was league, that, yeah.
Yeah.
So the school was quite understanding and stuff, so you got to go miss a few lessons and stuff, go and play different Yorkshires and Cumbria and stuff. So it was good.
So was there no, like, North West stuff before your Lancashire stuff, mate? Was it just your town or your borough and then Lancashire from your town team games?
Yeah, mainly, yeah. Right. They did chop and change things a bit, and you had like your Cheshire and different bits and bobs, but it mainly you went straight from your town team to your Lancashire then.
Okay, mate. And how was you in a new dressing room? Was you all right in a new setup and that, mate? Just like your rugby do the talking sort of thing.
Yeah, it was all right. In them early years, there was mainly me, but then there was a few others obviously that started joining in then.
Right.
A few lads like obviously Steve Bosco, James Breyers. A few like that, they join the setup, like, so it was good.
Yeah. So, do you know, with you being like, I don't want to put words into your mouth, but probably the standout player in the town on your age group, did you ever feel a pressure to perform, or did you ever feel like, because people would have knew who you was, Anthony, wouldn't they, playing for Lancs, was you Was you someone that people targeted?
I think you'd always have your rivalry anyway, you know, especially in the town. But it was, you'd up your game for it and type of thing. You know, I enjoyed it really.
Yeah.
So it was good.
Yeah, mate. So what, how did you, as you were getting older, you were obviously playing both courts, so would you have played scrum half and rugby union as well?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Yeah. So how did, I think you might not have thought about it at the time, so you might have to think about it a little bit now, but was it, did you see the game differently in both courts, or did you see the rugby league set up in a different way to the rugby union due to the slight difference in role in the same position?
I enjoyed like learning obviously the different, obviously it's a bit more technical, the rugby union, a few rules and stuff like that. So it was good to learn bits like that. Obviously while you're in the school environment, no pressure, you know what I mean? It's more an enjoyment thing than that. But as I said, we had a good group of lads at school. We only had a small year, so the rugby team was the football team, and you had pretty much the same lads, so it was a good laugh.
Right. But, did you get to do as much of a running game, sorry, Anthony, in rugby union with it? Because it's sort of like, for listeners and viewers that are just rugby league fans, it's basically a hooker, isn't it? A rugby league hooker.
Yeah, very similar, yeah. Yeah, I didn't find it changed massively, really, for me, you know.
Yeah.
From what I was used to, I sort of tried to play the same game. Obviously, you'd lead the kicking side more to the lads who could kick a bit better. Yeah. More in union. But I enjoyed it. And my uncle had a lot to do with the Wids Rugby Union, John Ollins. So
yeah.
I did spend quite a bit of time up. We'd be with him up there and stuff. So you would see the different sides to it.
Did we never tempt you, mate?
No, only years later. No. When Andy Rowan was coached years later, and he was trying to have me to play. And I did think about it a bit at the time as well. I was thinking, you know, I'll give it a go, but it never comes to fruition.
Suppose with the way we were both winter, really, for predominantly a lot of your career, weren't we?
Yeah.
So you'd have had to, jib rugby league, and that was never obviously going to happen. You were a bit unfortunate that when it changed, you were well in your swing, weren't you, mate? And obviously family commitments and work commitments and stuff.
Yeah. I did a full pre-season 1 year at the Wids when I was 16, 17. And was just deciding what way I was going to go.
So you were on the edge?
Yeah, because me and my mate, who obviously was doing the training at the time and stuff, he was a rugby union lad through school and stuff. And he was like, my having to go, let's go here. Because at the time, the Maddies didn't have an under-18s. So we ended up going up to Widnes Tigers in the end.
Yeah.
And I played a season there, so I ended up going open edge at the Maddies and Witness Tigers in the same year at 18s instead.
All right, okay. That's back when you were a young pup and bounce back ability was a bit easier to find, I imagine that, mate.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
So with you being pretty versatile and good in both courts, mate, did Lancashire ever come about rugby union-wise?
No.
No.
No, no.
Would it have been something you'd have done, though?
I think I'd have tried it. I'd go at anything. Like, as I said, I enjoyed my sports and stuff. I had a couple of years growing up where I wasn't as interested in the rugby.
Yeah.
But then I got back into it then. So I would have considered it at that age, you know, giving anything a go.
Right, and what was the standard of school rugby like compared to club rugby when you were coming through high school?
It was a bit more, as I said, we didn't have no pressure out of that because we were only a small year. So I don't think there was a massive expectation that we were going to, you know, do a lot. But we had our first year of wins and stuff like that and travelled around playing people. So it was good. I enjoyed it. Like as I said, different technical sides to it. That you don't, you know, obviously you will know more be playing both as well. The different, you know, the fine lines and the margins of the little technical things.
Yeah. Rugby now gets you out of that, the one, and you've got plenty of that, haven't you? So like the reading of the game can get you in positions you probably didn't anticipate you had to be in. But it's just in you. Because the principles are the same, mate, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, therefore, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So how was club rugby, mate? So what sort of standard was you playing club wise and teams were you playing against?
What age was this, John?
So right through high school, mate. So they didn't call it the Premier where we were growing up. It was like League One, wasn't it? So was you in the top league, get the Maddies growing up?
Yeah, they was always in the top leagues in the Northwest, yeah.
Right, so who'd have been in that? Your Pat, your Black Brooks?
Yeah. There was St. Anne's Crusaders, Lee Miners, your Rangers, Eccles. Oh, like you're pretty much your local teams, like. Yeah. I say you're good standards.
Right, mate. And coming through school then, was there any rep stuff outside of Lancashire in rugby league?
No, I did. As I said, I did that. Lancashire was in the few early years.
Yeah.
I had a couple of years then where I didn't really, I just enjoyed playing really. That I didn't really take it too serious. So my representative stuff come later on really, open age wise.
Yeah. No, it's just mad, isn't it? Because your nous is there, your abilities there, and I'm both together, virtually the complete player. And it's like when I'd already quite sorted it out with you to come on night, and I put a question out about who people wanted to listen to. Your name come up a few times. So it's like people want to know about you, do you know what I mean? But it's like I only met you later on, unfortunately. I didn't have that much of a pleasure of playing a lot with you. But like watching you and that, you can see levels in people, mate, can't you? And without understanding life circumstances, you think, why aren't they playing higher? If that makes sense. But I understand it's work and family and stuff now because I'm an adult myself. But when you're a kid, you think, there's people on there that are like, really good.
Yeah.
And you just didn't get that like, balance.
Yeah. So I've seen some did anyone... Players.
I bet you'd have come and go as well, mate. Some people like just fall off the sport altogether, don't they? At least you come back. Yeah. So did anyone sniff around professionally, Anthony, or what was your options leaving school?
I'd got back into me rugby really well then. You know, I really enjoyed it again then after a good few years where, as I said, I just played because I was with my mates, basically.
Right.
So I started knuckling down a bit then, a bit more training involved and looking after myself. So I started, as I said, open age then with me under 18s at the same time. And in the first couple of years, we managed to have quite a bit of success at the Maddies, so open age. So it gives you the bit of the bug then and the hunger for it.
So how old would you have been when you were playing 18s? Was it straight from leaving high school? So you'd have still been maybe the back end of being 16?
Yeah, just turning 17, yeah.
Right, and that, did it feel like you were playing against men? Being at the bottom end of the age group, or were you pretty comfortable in that environment?
No, yeah, you know, you definitely stepped up, like, and but it gave you the confidence then more for when you were playing 18s, you know what I mean?
That was a bit easier, probably.
Yeah, and 18 for me is obviously the toughest league that you'll sort of play.
Yeah,
and it gives you the confidence then with I say you're playing with these grown fellas.
Yeah,
in an era as well where it was a bit more. It was a bit more rough and ready, shall we say. You'd have to...
Dark arts, innit? Yeah.
Yeah. You'd have to be looked after type of thing. And I did. I was fortunate. Yeah. I got well looked after, like.
So when did 7 become 9 on your back?
Well, there was three other halfbacks, open age. One was the Great Britain captain, Ian Dawson. So you weren't pushing him out in a hurry. And the other two,
I can imagine.
The other two, Gary McKeown and Jason Ellis, were two really good halfbacks. So it was a bit of like, do you buy your time? So I had a few games that did okay and stuff like that, and waded up and that. But I just happened to be on holiday with one of my mates, and we was just talking in bed as you do. And he said, "Well, yeah, why didn't you try another position?" He said, "I think hooker would suit you." I said, "Never really thought about it." And this was, scrums were still obviously competitive then. So I'm thinking, it's quite rough in them scrums, like, but I said, yeah, I can ask and give it a go, like. So went from there, went back, spoke to the coach, and he said, "Leave it with me, I'll have a think about it." And he had a couple of goals trying me out and stuff, and it just went from there, and it stuck then.
Right. So did you have it like a settling in period with the second team, or was it just one team at the Marys at this point?
No, they had the two teams, but he tried it in the first team.
Right.
So the lad had played hooker for the first half or whatever, and he said, "Right, let's swap it over and give him a go." And I had half a game, and then he said, "Right, we'll go from there." And then I played the next game, then it just sort of snowballed from there.
So you ruined someone's career because you never went anywhere.
Hell yeah. You left them, you joined the Bells then, the lad. Yeah.
So you did.
Yeah.
So what were the halfbacks like with you? You know, like when you're coming through, mate, I imagine if a young lad starting to make a name for himself, which it obviously were, was they still good with you, them three in front of you? Because like Dawson, like all three of them really, but when they're playing that level, there's something to be learned from there, mate, isn't there?
Oh, it definitely is, yeah. I was good mates with Gary and Jay anyway, and Ian Dawson obviously was someone you looked up to, great Britain captain. He was doing everything at the time. He was captaining them on tours and stuff like that, and he'd like took you under his wing, and he'd say, "Well, do this and do it," you know, and obviously you'd have the respect and you listen and you think, "Well, all right, yeah," but he also guided me when I started like getting representative honours and all that. He sort of helped me along the way with that as well. So his experience and all that was invaluable. Like,
you were really lucky as well, though, mate. Sounds like you've come in at the right time, done it. They're still playing well enough for you to witness it, but they're also still smart enough to let you know about it as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So, do you remember your first game at hooker then, or that first scrum and that? What was that like?
Yeah, I went to the first scrum. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to put my arms on anything. I think they just sort of grabbed me, threw me in. Yeah. As I said, I didn't understand about where your head went, pinching the head and what.
Yeah.
Getting your shins kicked. But as I said, you'd have to learn quick.
Yeah, I can imagine, yeah. So when did you really feel at home at hooker then? Was it pretty instant? Because you're up, like I've said numerous times, your rugby ability is always there. It's just whether you can settle in it.
Yeah. Once I sort of had the feeling that I was going to be sticking around there for a bit, you concentrate on a bit more, and you think, well, I enjoy this position, so I'll give this a go, you know what I mean? And before you know it,
bought into it.
Yeah, it's becoming more. It felt weirder going back to seven if I had to fill in at seven than it did playing at nine. So,
yeah, no, I can't imagine it. And vision wise, mate, as you got older, how did your vision of the game change, or did it change?
Yeah, well, as I said, with the halfbacks that we had, I was obviously known as I was the quiet one, and I used to get a good bit of ripping for it, like, you know what I mean? Obviously, as you're getting older and watching what other people are doing and how they control the games and stuff like that, and picking bits up off them, so your game evolves that way. And next thing you know it, you're the big gob on the field telling everyone what to do. So
yeah, it's not that. It's like combination. People read when you're going to run, when you're going to play as well, mate. Don't they? The more you play together, it just naturally happens, doesn't it? You know what sort of lines to run off you and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a big part of that was with Ian Dawson, as I said. This fellow was obviously great Britain captain and well respected, and he's saying, "Me and you will do this move together and we'll do that." You know, he made me look great. And if it wasn't on, he'd be taking the hit and all that. And I'm thinking, this is great, this.
So when you're coming through, mate, how many young lads are coming through with you? Or are they still floating about like you between 18s and open age? Because again, that's a big jump, isn't it?
Yeah, there was only a couple of lads coming through with me at 18s, from 18s up to open age. They didn't stick around that often. Danny Rowlands and Andrew McDonald, two good lads. Like, they had a couple of years up there and stuff, but it was only me that really stuck at it. And there was a big age gap because I think the nearest person to me was 6 years older.
Okay.
So I was known as the young one for quite a while until others started coming through later on.
Yeah, and was there ever a time when you struggled because of that gap for numbers rather than not personalities, because rugby's very well, like, very welcoming, mate. You only had to be there a couple of sessions and you're in, aren't you? Basically. Yeah. But was there ever a worry that you couldn't replace them people if they got hurt or if they decided to call it a day? Or did people come through at the right time?
I think it snowballed. I think the success in them few years that you had sort of covered that gap. Because the more successful the team was, you didn't want to miss out. It's changed a bit now. You know, you don't miss training back in them days because you wouldn't play. And you had a couple of teams, you know. Nowadays, it's they sort of pick and choose.
Yeah.
You know, a bit more, it's a bit more lax than what it used to be.
Yeah. Now, but, I can imagine, like, back, because the Widnes Cup was a really competitive, contested cup as well with work teams in it and that, wasn't it?
So, yeah, it was.
Right. So, when did the rep stuff come? And that, on the back of, what was it, on the back of playing for the Maddies rather than the 18s, the rep stuff?
Yeah. I played. They had a town team each year, inter-town competition.
Okay.
And the first year that I played it, I think it was 18, 19, and we got all the way through to the final. Did really well. Big game in the final and stuff like that, but managed to get myself sent off early doors.
Not like you, that.
I know. So I was a bit gutted, like,
yeah.
But off the back of this, the town team run, we got recognised quite well, Lancashire-wise. So a good few of us got selected for Lancashire. So we had the tri-series with Lancashire after a couple of trial games. That went really well. And on the back of that, I got selected for Great Britain under 23s. Which was a couple of weeks after the final, of which I just got sent off in. So I was sweating a bit. But
you must have done some of it.
Yeah.
Off for a ban, you mean?
Yeah. So I managed to escape the ban and still could play. Yeah.
You must have run out of brown envelopes there, mate.
Oh, no. Well, actually, the fellow who was on the committee for the disciplinary was the Great Britain manager, tour manager, who was playing for. So I think that helped me.
Sending off sufficient.
Yeah.
So, to be honest, mate, like I said, that messing then, but your discipline record from when I can remember, you're pretty good like that, aren't you?
Yeah, I only got sent off a couple of times in my career. Like, I did okay. I'd let the others do all the fighting and stuff. No, they're braver than me.
It, mate. Don't want to wreck your looks, mate.
Yeah.
So, do you know when you think back, was you just in the groove when all this was going on? Had you found your place on the field now at hooker and you were more than enjoying it, you're winning things and then everything just come with it?
Yeah, I think it was the confidence, as you said. And obviously when you're winning stuff, it helps. It just makes you more confident. And it sort of, it snowballed quite quick them first couple of years into the rep stuff, you know. So I felt lucky at a time when, as I said, everyone was playing well, everyone's confidence was up, which helped my game, made me look better, you know.
What was work like? So what had you done when you left school, job-wise? Did you go college or out like that, mate?
No, I went on a training scheme, got qualified up, and then I come and got a job in Widnes then, doing metalwork, welding and stuff. But one of the owners was a rugby fella, so he was quite understanding, and he'd let you go on time or a bit early, whatever, to suit your rugby needs and stuff.
Because it looks good for the company as well back then, didn't it? People took real pride in having people repping while they're working with them, didn't it, mate?
Yeah, he was really supportive. Like, he was good.
Right. So when you went through these processes, so we've taught town, so you've told us all that sort of works from a young age. It's pretty similar, I imagine, right till they stopped doing it, didn't they? So I imagine it was picked off the back of your club form, wasn't it, basically?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Lancs, you get picked on the back of your town form.
Yeah.
So these trial games, that's against each other, aren't they?
No, the trial games, you sort of, everyone's invited, obviously, from your towns, your different players, your good players. And then you'd have a bit of obviously, a trial game against each other, or a couple of trial games, and obviously you're selected from that.
Yeah. Are they like full belt, or are they like a contact they don't opposed? Is it full?
No, it's fully fledged games, yeah.
Right, and what people stood out to you when you were growing up from them sort of teams? Did anyone really leave a marker on you where you thought, he's really good there?
Yeah, there was a few. There was one of obviously Mick Cassidy, his brothers, there was a few brothers, and one of them brothers was playing at that time, really good player. He played through the process of what I did. He was sort of around when I was around playing it and stuff. He was a good lad. You had your usual suspects, really, I think. There'd been some lads who'd sort of been in it for a few years before, coming to the end of the career, end of the careers and stuff, and there was younger lads like me coming through.
And again, is that environment still a good environment to be a part of now you're an adult as well? Or do you still get the little clicks now and then, mate?
You didn't spend as much time with each other in the Lancashire game. It was more, you turned up for your training sessions, you'd have an hour or two training, and then all of a sudden you'd have a match type of thing. So it wasn't like you were hanging around, spending time, getting to know different fellas, but you would do match day wise, and obviously having a pint after the games or your training or whatever, you know, you get to know each other a little bit through that way.
Yeah, people loosen up and that as well, mate, don't they? You see the more them than the player, don't you, after a few beers?
Yeah.
And then the GB stuff, so did you need any like sponsorship or fundraising for that?
All our tours were all like we're in this country, no doubt. It just went down south or whatever, so it was all funded.
Okay.
By the rugby light.
Yeah. And did you get time to spend with the lads more on a GB tour than you would playing for Lancashire?
Yeah, you'd go down for 3 or 4 days at a time and stuff. The trainings were pretty much the same. You'd meet up, you'd have your hour or two training, and you'd have a bit of a gab and that. But as I say, when you're on your tour, then it's down there, and it's right, you go and room with him. Okay, so you're with some lad that you don't know. Yeah. So you sort of get to know each other a bit quicker. And as I said, you see half these players then when you're playing through your career, and you have your respect for each other because you know you played in the same team. And so it was good. It was good to do. It was a good environment. There was only ever me from Widnes at that time, sort of went. So it was a case of, it's not as if I'm going with another lad from Widnes who you know. So you've got to get to know everyone type of thing, which is...
And was you all right with that,
Yeah, didn't mind, yeah.
Yeah.
Apart from getting called a scouser by them all, right, you know.
I'll never understand that, mate. And I'll never get it. The least scouse accent, I think, was...
I know.
So when you're in and around the teams, mate, are you, maybe even without knowing it back then, but do you think you're picking little bits up off people? So playing style wise.
Yeah, there's a few lads who've been in the setup for a couple of years as well. So they obviously they know, you know, what the score is, and they're a bit more relaxed, and they put you a bit more at ease and stuff, and you can see the way in which they play.
Yeah.
Some lads come obviously play from like national conference level. At the time we was only Northwest. You know, their standard obviously was a bit better than ours at the time. Little bits and bobs they'd do a bit different, maybe training and stuff. And so you do pick stuff up, like there's a lot of good players.
No one in your ear about playing conference at that point?
No.
Who would have been playing it round? With no one really, was there? Would you have had to have gone cruise since, well, Fatter Weave now, people know him as, but. Would you have had to have gone St. Helens Crusaders, probably, to play a conference?
I'm not even sure if Thato were in it at the time. I think Thato was still a bit low, because we had good rivalry with Thato through the years.
Yeah.
I think it was a few years later that Thato sort of gone into it. It was more like your Lee Miners and
was it?
Lee
Crossfields.
Like that. Crossfields were up there in it, yeah. So... Right.
Yeah, you'd have had to have travelled, really, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You'd have had to have travelled to then have to travel. It's a big ask, really.
Yeah. Yeah, true, yeah.
What type of roommate are you?
I'm all right, yeah. I'm one of them. I like to wear people up first. I don't like to be too loud and brash, you know what I mean? I like to sit and observe first, and then, as you said, a few beers loosens everyone up, you know.
Yeah, but quick, like try and get asleep first in case they snore.
Oh, I know, yeah.
No, I was so lucky what on the lads... back of that? Oh, go ahead, sorry.
I was lucky the lads who I always room with would always seem to be decent lads, you know. Yeah. You get on with well. So
you've been scared of the pillar treatment, mate. You stood over and ready to suffocate.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
With that Scouse accent.
Yeah.
So on the back of that, now you're older as well, mate, and you're playing in like quite a pivotal position. Do you think that then brought a bit of a marker to you?
You got well known and stuff like that. And I was one of them. I didn't really pay too much attention. I was one of them easy go lucky type of thing. It didn't matter who I was playing or I never looked too much into. Your opposition was, or you know, read too much into it. It was just me. I'm playing against 13 players, so I'm not that bothered. But you did get a bit of treatment, like where they sort of they'd be calling you out, and you'd be thinking, "Well, do they know me?" You know,
and it was you.
You were to be getting round.
When did scrums change then? How old were you when the scrum changed?
I don't know, I couldn't really even tell you. It just sort of...
Just as you got used to it.
Yeah, it was just like little, they'd tinker with little rules, you know what I mean? It wasn't like a massive change, and then it was a bit more, you know, it wasn't contesting. It was like, because you used to get done for feeding the scrum, obviously, which you'd know, rugby union-wise, and all of a sudden then you could put it in the second row.
So yeah, through the feet, it was mad that, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it took away all the competition out of it type of thing.
Yeah. So how did you keep adapting to the way the hooker role was played? Because you did, didn't you? So, like, at one point, they were just a distributor off the floor, weren't they? And then a little bit more running come, and then more of running, like a first phase move from nine, wouldn't it, for you to play out the back? And then scrum-wise, nine went to 13 then, didn't they, mate? Like, when did you notice all this creeping in, and when did you discover that the role was changing?
Yeah, I mean, as I said, obviously earlier on, I really liked the attacking side of it and stuff. And obviously, the more runs I could have, the better. Yeah. You know, obviously, without being like looking at yourself as greedy or whatever, you know. But as I said, you could see the game changing because the game was obviously a lot of big fellas around the ruck areas and stuff like that, big forwards and stuff still. Where gradually, as the game changed, you got a lot more mobile and stuff. So my early part was, I got through the big ones quick enough in your running game, you know, you did okay. And then as it gradually then, obviously the game changed a bit, as I said, your props went more to looking like second rows and type of thing, you know, everyone seemed to get a bit fitter and the physicality sort of went out of it a little bit more then.
Yeah, become more technical, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and obviously if you're running games, it's strong and it's working, it means you're on the front foot as well, doesn't it? So it means you're dominating that part of the game anyway.
Yeah, I was always lucky to play against to play behind a decent pack.
Yeah.
You know, as anyone rugby wise will know, your pack's doing well, you do okay.
Yeah.
As a nine then.
So how long was it until them young'uns come in and the Maddies moved out of like Barwon or North West Counties leagues? Because you've had a few years in the conference, haven't they, didn't you?
Yeah, we did, yeah. And it was more like Mike Gill, Matty Vickers' age and stuff like that at the Maddies. Yeah. The third age group come through and bolstered it up and all that. And then because we had a good influx of young players all at once, the question was asked then, did we want to enter the conference? Which obviously suited having a lot of young lads with the travel-wise and stuff.
Yeah, and they're still more keen, aren't they, at that point?
Yeah, yeah. And then the club had a bit of adapting. You'd have to meet a certain criteria of having a few pitches and they changed a few things around and stuff. But it sort of went from there then with that influx of young players.
And with that, mate, your second team gets stronger as well, I imagine.
It does, yeah.
Yeah.
As I said, we were always quite successful. So as I said, that breeds it again where nobody wants to miss out. You're getting more and more young players coming through then.
Yeah. And on the back of that, your junior section. So people that start playing or want to play, bring the kids there, mate, don't they? Success breeds success, like you're on about now. It'll just, well, unfortunately, the club, I think Ronnie's got a team now, hasn't he? But the club's drifted away like a lot have. But for a long time, the Maddies were the club, weren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. There was a few clubs, obviously, started falling away then. The Maddies always seemed to do okay.
Yeah.
And then,
so when the Widnes Cup used to come round, in your early years when it was like, there was double-figure teams in it, weren't there, mate? So how did you used to win? How was your first Widnes Cup for the start? Because you'd have been a young lad, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it was a definite eye-opener. Like, it used to just be the little rope around the pitch. And you could have thousands of people around. You'd play at neutral ground, so we'd say play at Simmies or wherever we'd travel to, West Bank. And obviously you said you'd just have the rope. But you'd have thousands there watching it. Yeah. And the pitch would be getting smaller and smaller and the games are obviously competitive. It was a definite eye-opener, like.
Yeah. Did it ever faze you, that, the big crowd, mate? You never looked first.
No, as I said, I was well looked after. I was lucky that when I played at them early years, we had a really good rugby team, but a tough rugby team as well, as I said. Yeah. You kept me out of any kind of, you know, I was well and truly looked after, like, and stuff.
So when would you give them license to do, like, to play what you see, Anthony? When did the structure get less and the play with what you see become more?
I think it started going back to Ian Dawson again. He had a good rugby brain as well, and he could spot gaps. And he'd call it a certain move and he'd shout to me and you'd have a little look and you could see a gap. So you'd go through, you know, half the time he'd be backing you up and stuff. So you work partnership-wise. But as you're also picking it up yourself then. You're seeing what he could see and you've got obviously your own little ability as well. So it just grew and grew from that.
Yeah. Well, to play for as long as you did at the level you did with the people you did, you've got to be able to do it, haven't you? Because you'd just get left behind, you'd get found out.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yeah. So when you first went up to conference, mate, did it take long to get used to that? Or because of the rep stuff, was you already in that mould anyway?
It was okay, really. It just seemed to go a bit quicker. There was less physicality again and stuff. And obviously, you'd have like two touch judges all the time, and It was a bit more...
Oh, like every game, that?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Was it?
It'd be a bit more like a bit of a step up again. You just put your club wise, you know what I mean? So...
Yeah. Virtually semi-pro, that, really, innit?
Yeah, there was quite a few clubs, paid players and stuff to be in it, and different bits, you know. More established clubs, your Westalls and stuff like that. They've been in it for a long time and were well sponsored and looked after. And I say we went in as a bit novices, and we just enjoyed the ride, really.
The journey home as well. Yeah, yeah.
You can live for your bus journeys. You used to only get a cup journey, so now you'd have it every other week. Yeah. It was great.
Yeah. And did it become difficult when you were starting a family, or did you ever change your job and it become a bit more of a strain on you and the family?
You'd always have your moments where you miss it, be moaning at you, and you'd be like, oh no, you know, I'll be home early, I won't be drinking, and you know, and next thing you're rocking in at 12, and what a night, and flattered, but yeah, but
all part of the journey, mate, innit?
Yeah, I think
and if the families are on that with you.
Yeah, I don't think most would change it, you know. Relationships might have come and gone and stuff through the course, but I don't think they'd have changed what they did.
Yeah, no, I can imagine, mate. So on the back of the success, mate, and the trophies, any personal honours as you're still in your young to mid-20s at this point?
I'd won a few things. I won Young Player of the Year for the town. Yeah. Early doors. Then I managed to win Player of the Year for the town the next couple of years following. So you did get recognised. Like, as I said, that when I come through and started, we was in Division 2. And a lot of you like Sims Cross and your Farnworth and stuff like that were in the Premier, West Bank were in the Prem. So a couple of the teams in Widnes were above us, and the Albert was above us. So we were we started having a bit of success and having to catch people up.
Right.
So it was nice to get recognition as you're doing it and coming through.
Was it ever offensive that one year you got young and then the next you just played it here? They're now saying that you're not young.
Yeah.
The thing I liked about them, from what I remember, mate, it was a proper award ceremony, weren't it?
Yeah.
It weren't just in the club, was it?
No, you get your 10-year awards and your 20-year award and your service to rugby league awards and stuff like that. So, as I said, you did it really well.
Yeah, it's them touches that aren't there now that you notice aren't there, I suppose, the little personal things, isn't it? It's a shame, right?
It was always a big thing, the Widnes Cup. There's a lot of really good players never even won a Widnes Cup and stuff. Or even got into the finals. They said there used to be 12, 14 teams in it at some points. And so I was lucky enough to have a bit of success in the Widnes Cups.
Never get bored of that though either, mate. No, didn't ever feel you needed to move for the challenge.
No, I got asked at different times to move to different teams. Sometimes the marriage wasn't doing so good or different, you know, but I played more for the enjoyment of it then.
Yeah.
With your mates, you know, as you know, John, that the crack you have with the lads and the group of lads that you're with is what it's all about.
Yeah. It's more what you'll talk about when you're in your 60s, 70s more than the games, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yeah. So, at any point, mate, Jordan, your late 20s, was there a thought of off-field stuff? Or was you not interested in coaching and out like that in your 20s? You were just still loving the game?
We were quite lucky. I always had decent coaches all the way through. Coaching like staffs and stuff, fitness lads and stuff like that. It was always decent, you know what I mean? And I had my input. I was made captain from an early age, really, at the Marys. So I had quite a bit of input from a young age of what the behind the scenes, the goings on a little bit more with the coaches and stuff.
Which politics ever put you off though, aren't they? Because you get dragged in as a captain, mate, don't you? Without really knowing it and wanting it. You can be dragged into that side of the game as well, can't you?
Yeah. It seems to grow more and more each year that you did it. There was always something else involved with being captain.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. And, you know, the lads were quite respectful. They listened some of the times, most of the time. So I was quite lucky, really. I was playing with it, as I said. It didn't matter if at the time we were a good team or if we were struggling a bit, we'd have a laugh and we'd all have a bit of respect for each other. It was good.
The need to, mate, because the first murder ball that anyone will see is from a knife.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Give so if they don't listen, they'll know about it. Go on, sorry.
That'd be the first criticism that if you'd asked any of the ones who were in the first night playing hooker, I'd say his passing was shocking. So I suppose having a running game helped me a bit.
How was it building relationships with referees, mate? How did you find that? Because that's quite key to a skipper's role, isn't it?
Yeah. You got to know quite a few of them over the years then. You know, and my dad was also got into refereeing. So okay. I knew quite a few of the referees through my dad as well, which sometimes helped you, sometimes didn't, you know, depending on certain things. But you'd have a good laugh, and the witness referees, you'd always, you know, didn't know who he was and stuff. You could have a laugh at him, which was my approach to being more of a, you know, you get some lads who mither and have a go at the refs and stuff, but I'd have a good laugh at him and that, so he enjoyed it.
Probably got your 60-40 rather than a 50-50 as well, didn't it?
Yeah, that's
probably
it,
did. Yeah. So when you're coming through then, mate, and lads are coming in, how do you keep the values and Marys? Because people see the Marys as just a scrapping team and you just could play. So how did you keep that balance and how did you keep people able to play that style? Because you sort of probably back in the day you could have told people no, because you'd had to pick, didn't you?
Yeah, we felt fortunate, as I said. Some other clubs started falling by the wayside and stuff, and we'd take lads in from different teams. Obviously other lads would go to different, you know, other clubs around the town, which is obviously their choice. But the majority of the lads who come in was all decent lads. So that really helped then, you know, it sort of set your standards. And quite a lot of the old players were around at the time as well. So you had a good mix of your youth and your old. You know, it wouldn't be the young ones would sit to one side and the old ones, you know, did all muck in. There was never like a sort of divide. It was always, you'd have a crack. You could have a crack with any of them.
Yeah, nice balance then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when did not playing start entering your head? How old do you reckon you was when that coming about? Because it was only the other year. You were still playing, weren't you?
Yeah, I played last year, to be honest.
Did you?
So I am trying not to play this year if I can help it.
So does your approach the game then change, aren't they?
Mine didn't. I've had this with a few of the lads and stuff, and they speak about it, and you know, the nervous energy you get before games and stuff like that, I don't think that ever goes. You know, you learn to relax with it a bit more, but I always said if I didn't get that I wouldn't play, you know. Okay. I didn't want to be complacent type of thing or whatever. You still, you know, it changed a little bit obviously at the end now, because games that I have played recently and stuff is just to help the team out, really, that I do a bit of coaching with up the Hornets at the Open Edge, and that's to help them out. But you still have that bit of nervousness. And so I did think that obviously it faded away. I always thought you come sort of your 30s, early 30s, then you're looking at packing in. And I have retired about 100 times over the years, I don't know. I was just like to just keep me toe in, really. So the more I did, I'd sort of then get back involved. Because I've always been one of them players that if you're sort of involved, you do it proper.
Yeah.
So I've always gone back in fully.
I was going to say, if you're coaching as well, you're probably doing the pre-season and the fitness stuff anyway.
Yeah, I did that, yeah, for the last couple of years.
So if you're making the effort, like you said, you might as well stick a jersey on, might you?
Yeah, that's it.
At least you can still do it, mate. So before we move on from the Maddies and chat, Alton and Hornets, or whatever people might remember them as, they'll always be Alton and Hornets to me, really, mate. But
the
trip to Germany, was you on it? And how was that when you just went on tour there with the Maddies?
It was brilliant, yeah. It was one of the best things I've been involved with. It was really good. We felt lucky at the time because there was quite a few of the older fellas went. Then you'd have lads around my age and stuff. You'd have like the middle group again, as you said, you know, your Mike Gills and your Matty Viggerses and them lads. But then you'd had quite a lot of young lads have come through at the same time as well. So we took good numbers and stuff to a little village that I don't think was ready for us at the time, to be honest, in Germany. But everyone got on with everyone, and we had a really good time. It was a good bonding experience, really, and it kicked on for a good few years. Then it cemented, and you had like quite a good success for the next couple of years with both teams, really. We had a first and second then for a bit.
The trip done its job, really, mate, didn't it? Probably better than you could have imagined. Yeah.
For the lad who organised Danny Gilmore, obviously you'll know Danny and that.
Yeah.
He managed to pull it off.
It's mad because no one died or nothing, did they? And that group was a loose group, wasn't it?
Yeah. That's what they said. They were the rules. If you got arrested or you did anything out there, you're on your own. Make your own way back, type of thing. So, it went well.
And you know what? It's that picture, mate. Is that at the Maddies when you just stood outside the bus?
Yeah.
It's a class picture, that. But in hindsight, you probably should have done one when you've come back as well.
Yeah. It definitely wouldn't have been happy.
The state.
John, that was the longest bus journey I have ever been on. I thought we were never, ever going to get there.
Coming back. Going there.
Yeah. It's one of them where everyone's full of excitement as you go in, they're all a bit loud and a bit rowdy. And it was, honest to God, you did have asked the bus driver again how far it was. All he said was 1 hour. And we're just travelling for hours and hours. And then we went to everywhere.
Yeah. Do you know what, though, mate? What a way to do it.
It was good. It was brilliant.
Yeah. Because it's, again, like we touched on before, when you're touring with, like, the rep sides and that, only you're doing it with some of your best mates.
Yeah.
And then you're getting to know the new breed, which you'll be nurturing yourself because you've been that new breed, haven't you?
Yeah.
So it must be nice to sort of, like, do it the other way. And it's a little bit of payback, not that you have to, but it is, isn't it? It's a little bit that you've give back to not only the club, but to these young lads coming through that you probably know, the brothers, the cousins, the dads, don't you? You know, it's a small town.
Yeah, you try and mingle with everyone, you know. You'd go out and you'd sit at the table with a few of the younguns and have a couple of drinks with them, or, you know, you didn't just want to sit with your little group that you'd normally sit with. So it was good, as I said, but everyone did it. Everyone mixed in and mingled in. It was really good.
And when did a derby change? So when did, like, Simi start posing a real threat to you? Or was he always a threat? Because them games were like, really intense, weren't they?
Yeah. Well, for me, obviously, I'd sort of, when I come into it, open age-wise, the Simis and Maddies derby was always the toughest game anyway.
Right, so it was always big for you then?
It was always a big game, yeah. And then you both... You'd had times where you both were on top of your games and then one might be a bit better than the other at the time. But when it comes to derby time, it was always all forming out the kitchen window, out the window, and it was game on. It was never an easy game, put it that way.
It was a proper game as well, wasn't it? It had everything in it. Yeah.
It certainly was, yeah. But the majority of them were like that. You had your different levels of... You know, you played Farnworth. Farnworth were probably the best footballing team. You knew they were going to throw the ball around and stuff like that. You couldn't bully them. You know, you could try and get stuck into them and try and get at them and stuff, but they played rugby around you. They had too many good players. You know, West Bank, like I say, were at the top in the Prem when we first started and stuff. They were tough games. So I said, there was never an easy game.
How was there ever a time it become hard to motivate people? I can't imagine it was in your dressing room.
No. I think like I said, I've touched on we always had a good set of lads. You know, yeah, you'd have the banter and your good times and your laughs, but when it actually come down to the serious side of it, always did well. And I think we've been successful as well, helped mentality wise.
That's it, because it's a habit, winning, isn't it? As much as losing is, winning is as well. It's an habit that you'd enjoy being in. And it's sometimes, was like every game where you felt you couldn't do no wrong that stands out to you? Because some games you're in it and you just think, it just feels right, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think there was a period in the conference, and I don't know if you'd heard about it, but we had 12 games and we went unbeaten in these 12 games. And we had very, very, very few points scored against us. We battered every team. We were really good. Yeah. It was one of them where you'd sort of look around your team and you'd have full confidence in everyone that was in it. You know, you didn't think there was no weak links, there was no... And even if someone had to drop out for whatever reason, the person coming in was a good player. Yeah. And you'd had these 12 games and, you know, I said, we didn't just beat teams, we'd absolutely, you know, annihilate them, after play them off the park. And it's just that little periods like that confidence, you know, I was sticking my mind, like.
No, I can imagine, because there are days you sat there and no needs to be said, because you've all got the similar look on your face, haven't you?
Yeah.
When, no matter what you're going to do when you go out there, you just know it. It's probably your day. It takes something drastic to happen for it not to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
Go on, sorry, Ian.
In one of the points earlier on in the earlier days, we had a week where we had to play to win the league.
Yeah.
It was a Saturday. We had, I think it was a Lancashire Cup final on a Wednesday. A Widnes Cup game on a Wednesday. A Lancashire Cup final on a Saturday. And then the Widnes Cup final the following bank holiday Monday. So it was all in the space.
Monday, yeah.
Yeah, it was in the space of 9 days and stuff. And that's when we managed to win all of them.
Yeah.
That's another period where you weren't arrogant or cocky. You were just really confident in your team at the time and what you were doing.
Yeah, it felt unplayable.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, really good.
So when did the town team stuff stop?
I think they run it for I think it was about 2-3 seasons or something. And I think we won it the year after. The second year I was in it, I think we won it. And I don't remember them sort of starting it up again after that.
Right.
I couldn't tell you what reason it stopped for or whatever. Yeah. I know a few teams dropped out.
Okay.
But I don't know the actual reason for why it got stopped.
Yeah, because I like the concept. So, like, you played in the one you played against Warrington at Wilders Building, yeah?
Yeah, that got arranged for a charity game, that, I think, or something in the end.
Yeah, that's how you just got around it, wasn't it? Because North West Counties and Barlow weren't interested or something, was they?
No.
Or someone weren't interested for some reason, because that's something I'd like to see back. I think that'd draw people in, that.
Yeah, it was. It was good. Yeah. As I said, being involved in it was really good, you know. Yeah. You're playing with mates, so you might play with at junior level or different, you know, or you get on with different teams and stuff. So it was good to all get together and, you know, we had a laugh doing it.
Yeah, because that was as physical you've probably played, wasn't it? It was like it was up there.
Yeah.
It felt like it was.
Yeah, tough game. Yeah, really tough game.
Yeah. Is that something you'd like to see back then, mate? Just for the lads that you're coaching now as well?
Yeah, I think they tried it for a few years and they were trying to do it, but there was a little bit of animosity over it at the time. I think there was question marks over who'd coach it, and you'd favour what. So if it was like, say, a Mary's coach was coaching it, he'd favour the Mary's lads, and so it started as a non-goer then, which was a shame. As I say, it's a good concept.
It is, because I think Welshy was playing with the Wids at the time, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And he got pit. I remember there was a bit of thing about that, and then he got levelled anyway, didn't he?
He did. He got took out early doors, yeah.
He did, yeah. And which probably didn't help us as a town team, because he can play Welshy. There's no dramas about that, is there? And his game, I don't remember watching a lot of him in rugby league, but when he was playing for us at the Wids, he was, mate, he can read a game. He hits lines hard. He can distribute. He is a good player. Yeah, I don't know if it was a plan or something, but he did. He got revelled, didn't he?
Yeah. I remember him first coming to league with us at the Marys. David Wayne came up to me. He said, I've got a lad coming. He's coming from Widnes. I think he was at Widnes at the time. I'd just been released by Widnes. Okay. And he said, he's coming. I said, all right, yeah. He's come. Got to know him quite well. And say, he's a top lad, Dave, and that. And we had a few at the time. Mike Lamb come with him and a few others.
Borgie had a spell with you, didn't he?
Borgie, yeah. I think we had a bigger back line than we did forwards at one point.
I know, they're both like 6.5 foot, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lad that plays with the Rileys, Ben Black. Do you remember him, who played for the summer team?
Yeah.
He's a top player, Ben. Yeah. But no, you've had even in like the summer league before it was what it is now, he's always had a tough team, didn't you, that could do both.
Yeah. I think that helped the club really at the time as well, because with having it, as you said, it's a bit of a mix from the town. Anyone could come and play. It wasn't the Marys team, you know what I mean? It was
it's a like separate umbrella, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like a Widnes, obviously, summer team, but it was based up the Marys.
Yeah.
But then lads would come up, have a good crack, see what the score, and then some of them come over and start playing for the Marys then.
Yeah.
And that was good.
Right, mate. So sadly, everyone is aware of what happened with the Marys, mate, and I'm not going to rub it in, but the Wids of Widnes Rugby Union have done well out of it, haven't they, for land and stuff.
Yeah,
and I don't think it's about that. I don't like the old people doing each other over. We should have been helping each other, but somewhere it needed to happen, obviously, didn't it? For whatever reasons. Yeah. How did that go down with like everyone that you know? Was there a desire to keep going and try and re-establish somewhere else without changing the name?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, at the time, obviously. People there, your Kev Books and Graham Book and stuff like that, who was involved committee wise and different ones, World Leagues and stuff like that, obviously kept, you know, fighting away for it not to change and stuff. But what I had noticed, the game had changed, and it started, not so much the game had changed, the after the game had changed in the clubhouse type of thing.
Lads, when it was now Summer League, hadn't they? Yeah.
Yeah, when it had gone to the Summer League, because you know, a lot of lads would shoot home straight after the game, maybe have one or two pints off the you know. So the sort of the camaraderie after it, and the club started obviously dwindling down a bit, who was going using the club and stuff like that. So that had already sort of set in when obviously for the Marys to go through what it went through. But rugby wise, it was still quite strong. But with not having a base as well then, you sort of struggled a bit. Yeah. We were lucky enough to get the Parklands for a bit. They were helpful.
Yeah.
You know, but you'd have the similar thing going on after the games and stuff. Sort of dwindled down a little bit more again, which was a shame.
Yeah. No, because me and my dad have, like, the reminisce chats about, like, the rugby my dad played with, like, Kev's dad half a book and when Bernie was coaching stuff, mate. And he said, like, there was an act on every week. It was just a dumb fight. The Marys was the place to be, and you needed doorman and stuff because it used to get that busy. And up until their issues, that was still the case, wasn't it? You had like stuff on in the function room, and because it was quite a decent sized function room and stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, just, we did, yeah.
I know every good thing comes to an end. It's just a shame, and it's got so much like standing for people, like the Simmies has for people in West Bank. I'm not saying it hasn't, but at least they're still about them, aren't they?
Yeah. It was just, as I said, it's good to have played in the eras, obviously, when it was there, and it was, you know, because them times, as I said, they're more than memories you'd have, probably more than some of the stuff that happens on the pitch.
Yeah, you know, the degree burns off the showers.
Yeah. But as I said, it is a shame. It was just a more of the drinking culture sort of change and stuff like that. It wasn't more like, you know, it wasn't a case of the rugby started dwindling down and stuff. Because in the summer, because they used to say about it being the summer league, and there's people that are still arguing to toss over it and stuff like that. But
yeah,
you know, I think it just changed because the drinking culture sort of changed a bit more and stuff, rather than the rugby side of it.
I'd agree with that, mate. Rugby, regardless of the time of year, will always be what it is, won't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when did Alton Hornets become a thing for you? What made you go there?
Well, quite a lot of the lads who packed in at the Marys went across to the Hornets. A few went down to West Bank and stuff. Yeah. So my plan at the time was just to nip up and watch him as and when it suited me. Then, you know, I'd been sort of like trying to retire on and off, as I said, for years and years anyway. So, and I bumped into one of my mates, Adam Mellor. I bumped into him on the Friday at a witness game. And he just said to me, "What are you doing tomorrow?" I said, "No, I'm free." He said, "I've got a match, Wolston away, second team for the Hornets. Come up and watch." "Yeah, no worries, I'll come up and watch you. I'll drive up." So needless to say, as I get there, "Have you got your boots?" "Oh, yeah, all right, yeah." Next thing you're drawn in, and I played 80 minutes, and that was it then. So I went from there. And they just kept ringing me every week then saying, "Are you down? You're playing?" I was like, "Yeah. Am I? It's all right. I might as well sign on." So,
is it like you've never been away on?
Yeah, because a lot of the lads who were up there, as I said, from years ago, from the town team sort of thing, of your farm with and stuff. A lot of the fellas who I sort of played with are still up the club, up the Hornets. So going up and actually having a pint with them and hanging around with them was great. All the young lads, you know, were decent enough lads, got on with them all and stuff. So, yeah, it was it's different, obviously, than obviously the Marys, than what you went through with the Marys and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, but now, as I said, it's where I'm comfy now. That's where I sup up there, and that, you know,
it is rugby home, mate, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And I got made really welcome, to be honest. Once you got over the shock of what you doing here, you're a Marys lad type of thing, you know.
Yeah.
It was all right.
But you can't buy the experience you've got, mate. Like the rep stuff, the personal honours, the collective honours, like you can't buy that, can you?
Yeah. I felt lucky because they just needed obviously someone with a bit of experience.
Yeah.
Or this is how they conned me in anyway and said, you know, look after these young lads type of thing. So yeah. I did that. But as I said, I really enjoyed it. And the coaching side of it, I'd try and help out a little bit more and with any experience that I could lend a hand or whatever. And that's how I sort of come across into the coaching side. Then I got asked, would he help out on a bit of a thing of sort of stepping back from playing? And I said, yeah, no, I'd love to. Like, obviously keeping your toe in a bit.
Yeah. And how do you find it? Coaching to playing, have you found it easy transition, mate?
I like the coaching side of it, on the training field and stuff like that. Obviously, match day is still hard because you still like to be out there, you know, doing your bit and stuff. But I do enjoy it.
Right, where do you prefer to see the game from, touchline or behind the sticks?
Yeah, I like the touchline. Yeah, and obviously. The way it works out, Andy Davis is the head coach. John Murray was he's like assistant coach, and like I'm like sort of helping out, you know, I can run on with the messages and have a bit of an input with them and stuff. So it's good.
You know, they've got a little earpiece for you.
No, still making me run on.
So it was, like you said, it's like Spender, just as much, if not more, experienced than you, innit, mate? Like, the lads are quite lucky there, aren't they? With you, Spender and Muzzard, it's a lot of rugby now, still.
Yeah, it works really well. As I said, the three of us get on quite well. So, obviously, that really helps, you know what I mean? And there's obviously good people up the club anyway who'll always lend a hand, as with most rugby clubs. Like, you know, your people behind the scenes who don't get seen. And as I said, it's all good up there. It's a good club at the minute.
It is. It's thriving, mate, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, before I ask you a few daft questions, mate, how is it when you're in them big finals and that, winning them? So is there a feeling that you've had like it on the rugby field?
No, I think the more successful you are, you don't appreciate it as much at the time until you sort of look back. And obviously when you look back, you realise how good it actually was, you know. You might not remember, as I said before, you might not remember as much about the game, but you'll remember the celebration of the game more than, you know. You'll remember, obviously, little bits, as any player will, little bits here and everywhere of something you might have done in a game or whatever. Yeah. But
especially with YouTube now as well, mate, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, as I said...
It is. People have been gifted to play alongside you, mate, because... If you're not putting them through, you're robbing a ball on someone. The little strip that you mastered and stuff in it. It's as much as you say, I was lucky I was around people that looked after me and that could play. You could play yourself, otherwise you wouldn't be there.
Yeah. And then I said I really enjoyed it. You know, I wouldn't change anything. You know, over the years, you know, I'd do it all again in a heartbeat type of thing.
Yeah. Oh, we all would, wouldn't we, mate? Therefore. Like you said before, it's fundamentally when you start playing, it's because you love it. If you can get out of it in the middle, that's outstanding. But you'd always go back to where it started because the love's still there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why you started playing. Right, I've got a few daft questions for you, mate, if that's all right. Any pre-match superstitions?
I can't eat before the game. That's about it, really.
Right. That's toughest player you've played. Yeah, well, how do your nerves transpire, mate? Do you get the shit? Do you vomit in? Are you just needing a drink all the time?
I think as most will be, obviously you're on the toilet a good few times. Like, but I'm one of them. Once I'm up there in the environment with everyone else, then I'm all right. It's just the waiting round for it.
Yeah. And are you someone that needed an early touch, Anthony, or could you just bide your time?
No, I'd like to get involved early doors. I felt as if you sort of had an early reflection of how your game was going to be. You did a couple of mistakes early doors. You're thinking, is this the way it's going to be today? It's like, you know,
rattled.
That first tackle or that first run, it was always a big thing.
Nice,
like,
and early.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the definition of this first word is different to everybody, mate, so it's toughest. So you see tough however you see it. So the toughest player you played with and against. So against, you might not know him, but you might remember position and club.
Yeah. The toughest player that I played with, I think, was a fella called Dave Webster, ex-pro Dave. Played for Rochdale and a few others. And he wasn't tough as in, he'd sort of dish it out or whatever and all that, but, you know, he'd put his body on the line. He's one of them players. He wasn't ever going to be the silkiest offloader or but he's the way he played the game and all that and stuff, and his relaxed approach to it and stuff before the games and stuff. And he'd go out and he was one of them raw bone fellas. Put himself about, never bigged himself up, never did anything. He was just a tough rugby player.
I know, who against?
Well, when you'd asked me this question before, and I couldn't really think. And then the toughest game that I ever had was against a fella called Peter Curfey, one of the Curfeys, and he was my dad's mate.
Oh, yeah.
And he hounded me for the entire game. And I could honestly say I was glad I never had to play against him ever again. He was a total nightmare from the minute we started to the minute we stopped. And he come off with a big grin on his face, shook my hand and all that, and said, come on, let's go and get a pint. And he was an absolute nightmare.
That's the beauty, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's funny how it sticks out, though, isn't it?
It is.
So what's your favourite away ground you've played at?
Mine, obviously, growing up and stuff like that, was Norsey Road, the old Saints ground.
Yeah.
It was great. I played there a good few times. Like, it was just one of them grounds that I used to enjoy going to it.
Yeah. Do you like the old ground, mate? Prefer the old style grounds.
Yeah. I think because I even now with witnessing the championship and you go to some of these old grounds, I prefer it to the newer stadiums, to be honest.
Yeah, because the ground's on there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So if you could go back and tell a younger you something, Anthony, what would it be?
I think it would be a bit more. It's all right going along. I went along my career and enjoyed it and stuff like that. Didn't really take it too serious, you know what I mean? At times where I could have took it a bit more serious and stuff. Right. And as you said before, maybe gone a bit further or done different things, you know. So it'll be a case of enjoy the bits, you know, you really are supposed to enjoy, but then the serious bits, take it a little bit more serious, like.
Yeah. Right, and whether it was on that coach to Germany, mate, or it's in Simi's pub, you're out with the lads, you've had a few pints, the mic ends up in your hand, what you're giving us on the karaoke?
I think it'd be Don't Stop Me Now.
Yeah, would you blast that out?
That would be stunning. Right, as I said, I'd have to be drunk, though.
No, mate, I know I'd have to have a few myself, but at least you get up and do it.
Yeah.
So 1 to 13 you've played with, if you're willing to, mate.
Got asked this a few years ago. I don't really remember people doing it on one of the social medias years ago.
Right.
And stuff. And for me, I said I can't really pick one. I said because of the way obviously you had your older school rugby.
Yeah.
To your quicker rugby type of thing. But I've scribbled one down, like, and it's a bit of a mix.
No worries, mate. Yeah, nice one.
Dave Webster, as I said before, fullback.
Well, fullback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Winger was a lad called Eddie Connor. Great lad, Eddie. He's another one who could play halfback or whatever, but he could play wing, centre, whatever as well.
Versatile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the centres, I had Hammond Suavo, who was a Tongan lad years ago, and Mike Gill.
Yeah. Classy Gilly, isn't he?
Something like Gilly, yeah. On the other wing, they had Kev McCormack. Used to play for St. Helens. He was really confident in his ability. He was a top lad.
Well, it's just a fine line, mate, isn't it? But you've got to be at certain levels, haven't you?
Yeah. As I said, he's played in Challenge Cup finals and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
Things that you're never going to do, but he wouldn't bang on about it, and I didn't. You know what I mean? He was confident on the pitch. It was good. Good lad.
Yeah.
6 and 7, I had Lee Birdseye and Chris Kelly.
Which way around?
Birdseye at 6 and Chris Kelly at 7.
Yeah. Right. Did you want from your halves, mate?
Say that again, mate.
What did you want from your halves as a knife? What was key for you?
It's just the way they guarded the team around the pitch, you know what I mean? And they wouldn't have to be screaming and bawling, or, you know, as the two of them could play with a dinner suit on and wouldn't be touched.
Yeah.
And as soon as you left them and didn't put any pressure on them, they'd go and score a try or whatever, and, you know.
Yeah, ripping a new one, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah. They were really good. They both control the game. The best I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Two props. Played with George Mann.
Yeah.
He helped me a lot. He sort of like took me under his wing when he first got there, and he was sort of, this is what we do, you do this, you do that. Little bits right. Like off the kickoff, we sprint and you don't jog. And,
yeah.
You know, obviously different bits than amateur and stuff. He really helped me out. And the other lad was a lad called Pete Grady, played for Simmies.
Right.
Played Lancashire and town teams with Pete as well. He was really good, top player.
Yeah. Yourself captain and kicker at nine?
No. a lad called Mike Briggs, he was at Widnes with us.
Right.
Briggs, he ended up playing, he played nine more. I had a go at nine, he had a go at nine. He was there before me.
Yeah.
I ended up going through, I played second on loose forward.
See, I can imagine you playing loose forward, mate, definitely.
Yeah.
But it's not too different, is it? And you can sort of split the field then.
Yeah, no, it was good. I enjoyed loose forward, to be honest. As I said, in that environment, obviously the more professional environment, you're training more, you're looking after yourself, a little bit more size on you and stuff. You know, it was good. I enjoyed it, but Briggsy was a great nine. He could score a great try.
Yeah. Were you still allowed to play rep stuff while you were at Widnes?
No.
You say, because you're affiliated with a pro club, you probably couldn't play, could you?
Yeah, it was things like, you know, like, yeah, as I said, as we talked about before, your 10-year awards and stuff, that stopped and you sort of started again.
Oh, right. Good. Then you got
associated with Widnes and stuff.
Yeah, right.
Two second rows, like on Mark Bolio, was a tough little like nugget of a second row mark. So no messing, and Adam Prendy. Obviously, you've had him on before.
Yeah.
I went with Adam because I seen him come obviously through the junior ranks, and then played the first open age games in the same team as him, and you could see him getting better and better. You know what I mean? And what he went on to do with his Great Britain and stuff. So I thought he was a talent, Adam. Like
he did. He's like a fine wine. He did get better and better with age, didn't he?
He did. Yeah.
Yeah.
When he first came, and obviously he was a big lad when he first come up and stepped up, but he's once he got his confidence, he was brilliant, Adam.
Yeah, smart player, Adam.
Yeah.
Who finishes it off at 13?
I've put Ian Dawson at 13.
Yeah.
He played quite a lot, obviously standoff and stuff, but he played quite a lot of loose forward for us as well.
All right. Would you use him as a pivot at 13, though?
Yeah, because I think it.
Yeah.
I think now, well, more nowadays, obviously, they'd all do a similar job.
Yeah. No, it's a good side, mate. So what? So when you're around them types of characters, mate, is that when you truly express yourself with the ball in your hand?
Yeah, I mean. That team's a good mix of obviously over different years. And as I said, if you've seen the piece of the paper that I've been writing it down on, I've had about 300 players in it. And
that's the thing. Yeah.
Until someone actually asks you and you sit down and think about it, you're like, you know, you could have so many in different positions, different things.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Trot the Eggin'. Thanks to our sponsors, Bardell Sports. Follow us on Twitter @TrotTheEggin and Instagram @Trot_the_egg_in.